Good morning, and welcome to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Hi, I'm Chris McElyea, your fill-in host today, your regular host. Brother Chris Grota and Brother J.J. Hendricks were not able to be on the program this morning, so they asked me to fill in. And so today we are going to reach the conclusion of the book of Ecclesiastes in our ongoing study of the Old Testament in 2017. We'll be resuming our study in chapter 9 and verse 11 and going to the end of the book today. And as a result of Solomon's quest for understanding concerning the meaning of life, the things under the sun, he concluded that all is vanity. Even one who lives many joyful years can still expect at times their life will be filled with darkness. And so, from the earthly perspective, life, this physical life, is vanity. Now, that does not mean that we are to just throw our hands up in the air and give up and live our life in despair. In fact, Solomon has instructed us to enjoy the things that God has given to us. In fact, if we hear in chapter 9, notice verses 7 through 10. Go. Eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white and let your head lack no oil. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun. All your days of vanity, for that is your portion in life and in the labor which you perform under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. The lessons that we can learn through Solomon's experience are things that need to be learned by everyone, and especially the young, as Solomon directs much of his attention to the young. Otherwise, they may spend too much time running around and sowing wild oats, chasing after things that will provide no real satisfaction or joy. And in fact, when too much time is spent running around pursuing earthly things, the true enjoyment of life will be missed out upon. And so, as we draw to these final chapters here, Solomon wants to make sure that young people do not miss out on the lessons which he has learned. And so his attention is primarily directed toward the young as this book nears its conclusion. And so we see now a series of pieces of advice from the old preacher to the young. Now again, notice verse 9. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun. All your days of vanity, for that is your portion in life, and in the labor which you perform under the sun. God wants and desires for you to enjoy life. In fact, he wants you to be filled with joy and to do things that are pleasing. Just as we read earlier in verses 7 here through verse 10. So, he wants you to take advantage of your youth. Those days when you're have more energy and more zest, and to enjoy life. But he also wants you to understand that you must never lose sight of the fact that you will stand in judgment. You will have to give an account for the things done in this life, in this body. And we also understand that God will judge both the righteous and the wicked. In chapter 12 and verse 14, it says, "For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." Be careful what you do, but enjoy life. God has given man the energy to enjoy life, especially in the days of youth. But that energy must be steered in the right direction. Now also we see in verse 10 here Solomon encourages the young to remove sorrow and evil from their lives. Verse 10 says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." We need to remove sorrow from the heart. It deprives one of joy. And this is especially true in youth. Enough sorrow will come our way in due time without any assistance. We need to make sure that we do not add to our sorrows because of the lust and indiscretion of youth. We should remove evil from the flesh. You see, mistakes made in youth cause much sorrow and often long-lasting. We must be careful that we don't choose the wrong kind of friends. Surround yourself with Christians in the days of your youth. Be careful of being seduced by the enticements of the wicked. Childhood and youth are very fleeting, and they're only for a short time, as all of us of a certain age understand. Don't waste your time on things that are only going to bring grief and sorrow in life. How much hardship has been brought on how many young people because of foolish indiscretion through drugs and alcohol and illicit sexual activity? Heed the better way. Youth can be a wonderful time of life, but the key to being able to enjoy it as a wonderful time of life is exactly what Solomon speaks of in chapter 12 and verse 1. Here Solomon said to remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, "I have no pleasure in them." The time to serve God is not just when you are old, but even in the days of your youth. Many of the great men of God through the ages have served from the days of youth. We think of Joseph and Samuel, David, Solomon himself, Josiah and Daniel and others, Timothy from the New Testament. Jesus gave us, of course, the great example in his youth, especially as we read about there when he was in the temple at the age of 12, reasoning from the scriptures with the elders there. Timothy, he knew the scriptures from childhood, and Paul encouraged him to be an example to others. You see, when we serve God, it helps us to make better choices. It certainly helped Joseph when Potiphar's wife attempted to seduce him. He made a wise decision and fled from her. It helped Daniel to not defile himself with the king's delicacies. Serving God in the days of your youth will help you to avoid many of the things that will bring sorrow, and it prepares you for the dark days. Chapter 11 and verse 8 said, "But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity." And so, chapter 12, where we are going to focus our time today, brings us the final admonitions of Solomon here to the young, but the principle to all. And the first thing that we see is that difficult days are ahead for those who live long enough. These days will be many, as we noticed in chapter 11 and verse 8. They will lead to days in which there's going to be very little pleasure for one to find. Chapter 12 and verse 1, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" There will be days in which little pleasure can be found. Verse 2 said, "While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain." There will be days of sorrow and sadness and affliction that awaits those who live long enough. Solomon, in verses 3 through 7, points out that things that will happen as time and age catch up to us and eventually death. And here, Solomon, the preacher, uses various illustrations to depict the body in old age and death, which things many can relate to in their lives, and some of us are finding out more so by the day. In verse 3 it says, "In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low, also they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way, when the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it." It mentions the keepers of the house tremble. This could be the representative of the weakening of the body as it grows older. The strong men bow down. Man, as he grows older, becomes less erect in his stature. He begins to stoop because of the passing of time. The grinders cease because they are few. Yes, indeed, as the teeth wear out, the day eventually comes when the teeth are gone. The eyes begin to lose their ability. Sight begins to dim. Those that look through the windows grow dim. The doors are shut in the street. This may be in reference to the dimming of the ears. As one faces more and more difficulty hearing as they get older. The sound of the grinding is low. When one rises up at the sound of a bird, many as they get older have trouble sleeping, and the slightest thing disrupts or ends their sleep. And all the daughters of music are brought low. When the voice that once could sing beautiful hymns is no longer able to sing as it once was. They are afraid of height. They will not climb the ladder like they once did. The fear of falling gets stronger with every passing year. They are afraid of the terrors in the way. The confidence of youth has been exchanged for the anxiety of old age. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden. It becomes difficult for man to deal with things that he once could. The very ability to move about becomes a chore. Desire fails. The fleshly desires of man begins to dissipate. And eventually death comes, for man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the street. The silver cord. Some believe this to be a reference to the spinal cord, the decay of the body. The golden bowl is broken here, perhaps the skull, as some suggest. The pitcher shattered at the fountain. The wheel broken at the well. And finally, the body returns to the dust, and the spirit returns to its creator. Verse 7, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Now all of these things were said by Solomon, not to discourage and depress us, for that is certainly not his intention here, and one is misapplied if they become in such a way. But the desire of Solomon here is to give us the proper degree of seriousness and soberness for a young person to have. Indeed, the challenges of youth are great. There are many temptations before a young man or woman. In this world that is under the control of the power of the prince of this world, Satan, are very alluring. They're very strong. But he doesn't deliver on his promises. But the young can be very susceptible to the allurements of the world, and they can easily become depressed and grow into a state of despair. In this world that we live, Young people need all the help they can get. And what a great start if they will heed the advice of Solomon. There is so much in life to be enjoyed if we will only follow the recommendations of the preacher Solomon here. He wants us to rejoice in our youth. He wants us to remove sorrow and evil from our lives. Never forget God. You know, often what times we see young people, you know, as they graduate from school or maybe in programs for some school event that their parents have placed ads or their friends, and they're always told to remember God, remember God. Perhaps we see it so much that they fail to take it seriously. But the key is to remember God in the days of your youth, and to reflect and think about the days ahead, and to make wise preparation for those days that will come when there's not much joy in them in the physical sense. Consider the words of Paul to the brethren in Galatia, in Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. If we wish to reap this everlasting life, then we need to sow to the Spirit by walking after the Spirit. And we must allow the fruit of the Spirit in our lives to produce those good things that will lead to satisfaction and happiness in those days to come. And so then, as we come to verses 8 through 14, we see more advice given to the young. And then as we draw near to a close of this book, Ecclesiastes has often been misunderstood. It's been abused and twisted as men take it out of context. And they draw these conclusions of deep despair, but when they do so, they ignore the author's own conclusion about the whole matter. But in these last few verses, we'll find some things here. Notice verse 8 here, where Solomon restates the result of his search for meaning. In verse 8, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. And then we see the beginning of his epilogue. And here he describes his continuing work. Those things will come to an end. In chapter 3, he discussed the vanity of earthly existence, the vanity of acquiring riches in chapter 4, the vanity of popularity, and these types of thoughts go on all through chapters 5 and 6 and 7. It's repeated over and over. In chapter 11 there, we saw the vanity of the days of darkness in verse 8 and the vanity of childhood and youth in verse 10. But this must be remembered in its context. His reference is to the vanity of life, notice, under the sun, the things of the earthly realm, not the spiritual. These are things he stated in the prologue of chapter 1. Verse 3, what profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? Verse 9, that which has been is what will be, that which is done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. In verse 14, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Notice in chapter 2, as he described the vanity of labor. Chapter 2, verse 11, then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled. And indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. Drop down to verse 17. Therefore I hated life, because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me. For all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will rule over all my labor in which I have toiled, and in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. Therefore I turned my heart and despaired of all the labor in which I had toiled under the sun. Verse 22, for what has man for all his labor, and for the striving of his heart with which he has toiled under the sun? Notice the vanity in relating to the evil that he would witness. Chapter 3, verse 16, moreover, I saw under the sun in the place of judgment. Wickedness was there, and in the place of righteousness, iniquity was there. Also, in chapter 4, we see the theme continued. Verse 1, then I returned and considered all the oppression that is done under the sun. Verse 3, yet better than both is he who has never existed, who has never seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Verse 7, then I returned and I saw vanity under the sun. Verse 15, I saw all the living who walk under the sun. They were with the second youth who stands in his place. In chapter 5, verse 13, there is a severe evil which I have seen under the sun. Chapter 6, verse 1, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun and is common among men. Chapter 8, verse 9, and all this I have seen and applied my heart to every work that is done under the sun. There is a time in which one man rules over another to his own hurt. Chapter 9, verse 3, this is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that one thing happens to all. Truly the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. Verse 6, and also their love, their hatred, and their envy have now perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun. Verse 11, I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. Chapter 10, verse 5, there is an evil I have seen under the sun, and as an error proceeding from the ruler. Even in the giving of his counsel, we see the vanity that is pointed out when it is things of the earth. Chapter 5, verse 18, here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him, for it is his heritage. Chapter 6, verse 12, for who knows what is good for man in life, all the days of his vain life, which he passes like a shadow? Who can tell a man what will happen after him under the sun? Chapter 8, Verse 15. So I commended enjoyment, because a man has nothing better under the sun than to eat, drink, and be merry. For this will remain with him in his labor all the days of his life, which God gives him under the sun. Verse 17. Then I saw all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. For though a man labors to discover it, yet he will not find it. Moreover, though a wise man attempts to know it, he will not be able to find it. In chapter 9, live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun, all your days of vanity, for that is your portion in life and in the labor which you perform under the sun. In verse 13, this wisdom I have also seen under the sun, and it seemed great to me. You see, when life is viewed only in the earthly sense, from an earthly perspective, when there is no thought of God and the life to come, there is no hope in this life. It is all vanity. There is no advantage to have wisdom over folly if that is all there is. If that is all there is, then we are no different than the animals. The dead know of nothing. They have no more reward. Notice chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, and their envy have now perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything under the sun. But it would be a great mistake to misapply these passages, to take the idea that there is no value in seeking after wisdom. For the key to satisfaction in this life is the satisfaction that is found in the God of heaven. And so now we see, as we come to chapter 12 and verse 9, the ongoing work. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright words of truth. This is certainly a wisdom given to us from Solomon. And notice that though he had concluded in verse 8 that all is vanity, it did not lead him to become despondent or to despair or to give up. And he points out that there is value in the right kind of study, the right kind of knowledge. Verse 11, the words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. The words of the wise are of great value. He said they are like goads. Goads are prodding our thinking. It encourages us. It moves us along in the right direction. It said they are like nails. That which, when properly used, provides stability and steadfastness in our lives. Especially those that have been given by the one good and true shepherd, the Lord our God. We see in verse 12 that not all knowledge is beneficial. There is no end to the making of books. And oh, how true is that today when we add in the internet? Too much study becomes wearisome to the flesh. It is not possible that you can study every book. So be wise and selective in what you study. Things that pertain to the Good Shepherd. And if this life under the sun, this earthly life, is filled with so much vanity, we are admonished by Solomon the preacher, by both his example and his precept, to seek out the right kind of wisdom. The kind of wisdom that will guard us on our pilgrimage through this life. And that leads us then to his final conclusion, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. It is the whole duty of man. This is man's all. This gives the answer to his own question, all the way back to chapter 2 and verse 3. I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. And so here we have the whole reason for our very being, for our very existence, to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Fear God. To have reverence for God, to hold him in awe. The scripture tells us that this is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs 1:7 and Proverbs 9:10. Reverence, fear, and respect for God will help to prolong one's life, and it will keep us from much evil. Yes, we are to fear God, and we are to keep his commandments. That was the charge that Moses gave the nation of Israel in Deuteronomy, to keep the commandments of the Lord. It is the charge given to the disciples by Jesus. If you love me, keep my commandments. Keeping the commandments is how we know and that we know and love God, according to 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And if we reverently obey God, we will be walking in the fear of the Lord. This is the very purpose of life, and it is the key to true happiness. Proverbs 22:4 states, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. So Solomon the preacher, having taken everything that his mind could lay hold of into consideration, not just the things that he had observed in this earthly life, but with the wisdom he had been given, and by revelation as well, this is the conclusion that he drew. It is the conclusion of the whole matter. You see, when we consider the judgment that is coming, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Every work will be judged. Indeed, even the secret things. Romans 2:16, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. We will be judged by all things. We will give account for everything done in this body, whether good or evil, according to 2 Corinthians 5:10. Through history, man has searched for the meaning of life. Everyone from the philosopher to the common man has always asked the question of, why am I here and what is my purpose? Many of those who have searched come to the wrong conclusion, that there was no purpose, and they fell into madness. But a search that begins with the wrong assumptions invariably will lead to wrong conclusions. Those who set out in science and other areas assuming that there is no God, that there is no life after death, are going to draw conclusions that fit in with that. If what we encounter in this life is all there is, then it would be true that all is vanity. But Solomon, through his own experiences and his God-given wisdom, has shown that, yes, it is true that life from the earthly perspective is only vanity. But we also learn that by fearing God and keeping his commandments, we can endure the things of this life, even enjoy the things of this life, and look with great hope and expectation of the life which is to come. So, these certainly are words of truth, as he pointed out in verse 10. Thank you for joining me today. I hope that you will join us again next week for Mornings on the Master as we continue this march through the Old Testament here in 2017. Stay tuned for the rest of the programs today here on the Gospel Radio Network. And if the Lord wills, I will see you again next time for another edition of Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network.